Back again, episode 11. Worries, warriors.
Did I believe that? What I told Kalia then? I will kill Cassian if he does not. What? Does not what? I never even elaborated on that in my shitty rise, and if he does not cease and desist, join our side, who would we be fighting against if he backed down? If he agreed to work with the Frethim, his mother, with no heir? Io, desperate to cling to the dregs of power he drummed up, gold paint still smeared across his face. That was the thing. I couldn't even conceptualize it. What the end would have looked like if it had come that easily. You already know how this story ends, listener. I told you long ago that I loved Cassius Rex, and I told you long ago that things do not end well between us. I told you that I died in battle and woke up here, 17, a second time. I told you that we have another 5 years to go. You can infer how this one ends. And yet... You would not imagine the speech I had planned. It wasn't English, because I knew myself well in it, and I knew how to craft words in a way that made him love me. And that's what you wanted to hear, isn't it? That I was trying to make him love me in a way that made him throw away his now 18 years of experience otherwise? Don't ask me what the speech said. I can't remember. I've blocked out most of it, or forgotten it, for that was more than 6 years ago now, dear listeners, and while I remember lots, I do not remember this. Either way, it's lost from embarrassment or shame, or maybe, possibly, neither. Just human faultiness and the tendency for memories, like words in impossible languages, to slip and slip and slip away. There's a word in Rhysaean for that slow leak of forget. The way a memory seeps out and you cannot catch it between your fingers any longer. Ironically, I can't remember the word. It began with an A, if even that is true. I do remember the time I spent, though. Composing that speech in my head. That consumed every one of my free moments in the 3 wild days leading up to our break-in. I was so aware of the extent to which it was a last-ditch attempt to save his soul, but I didn't want to kill him, listeners. And the problem was that I could see no other alternative. I do know how this will end, with one of us crowned and one of us dead. We could not both survive to the end of the story, not if we both stayed stubborn, and God, we were stubborn. The 3 days dragged. I drafted and drafted and drafted my speech in my head, and I tried, just in case, to find a way to be okay with putting a sword through his chest. Every not-free moment of mine was spent helping with the planning, with sitting in on more council meetings, with arguing with Hast and sparring with the Olo, and pretending that the last halting, quivering voice in opposition to the raid hadn't been Rhea. Don't you see? She'd spat at the very last checks and balances. She was trembling. She'd had this conversation with Iolo and I the day before when we'd presented her the eye patch as a hopeful gift. She'd accepted it, smoothed her thumbs over the embroidery tenderly, then looked up, face hard. "This is the very least of what they do to traitors," she'd said. "That is you and me and even you, Elias. They're lying. They do not have Leander. This is a trap, and I will not be a fool that walks into it. You should not be either." Iolo and I had exchanged glances, united in this. "Then don't go," I'd said. It came off harsher than I'd meant it. "No one expects you to go," Iolo corrected, the same thing but with none of the virulence. And Rhea had laughed and crumpled the patch into her fist and left us. She wore it now at the meeting, but she was trembling. "This is a trap," Rhea managed, voice raw, but it sounded like she wanted to scream. "Don't you hear me? This is a trap. They're going to flay us all." The vote had passed. I'd voted against her. Iolo had voted against her. Rhea didn't look at either of us when the meeting disbanded. Callia and Hast drew up volunteers list. I put my name at the top, and Iolo took the quill from my hands to mark hers below mine. "I'll be safe," I told Rhea that night as we stared into the dark, unable to sleep. In English, so Iolo wouldn't know, I added. "And I'll bring her back."
"Kill them,"
Rhea said, flat and in English, so there were no words lost between us. "I know the deal you made with the soldat. Don't waste your time on games of redemption. If you see Cassian, and if you see the Queen, kill them, Elias. For me." In the dark, I heard her roll onto her side, away from me. "And I better see the both of you home safe."
Back Again is written and produced by me, Abigail Eliza. If you're enjoying the show, please consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice or supporting Back Again on Patreon at patreon.com/backagainpodcast, where you'll gain access to bloopers, annotated transcripts, episode sneak peeks, and more. If you'd like to hear more about the show, visit us on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at Back Again Podcast, or on TikTok at Abigail Eliza Writes. Our outro music is Nightingales by Pierce Murphy from the album To Japan, and is licensed under an attribution license. The song was retrieved from freemusicarchive.org. Visit the description of this episode for full copyright information and a link to the page. Sound effect attribution, similarly, can be found in the episode description. If you've made it this far, thanks for sticking around. Please remember that this world always tries to make you feel more alone than you truly are. There are people out there who will love you without condition or expectation, and you will find them. The light-soaked days are coming. I promise. You are so, so very loved. I hope you have a wonderful day. She spat at the... She spat... Ah!